sing it. I tell you what, it's an awesome song service. It makes a difference. You know, whenever you can kind of step right in here and just everyone's in one mind and one accord, that gives God room to move. And I really like that song, to quench my thirst, because a lot of times you'll have a need in your body, and you don't even know what that need is necessarily, but you'll be thirsty, and you'll be saying, "Lord, I'm just so thirsty," and don't even know why, but you don't even know it. When you go to drink that water will go right where it needs to in your body. You don't have to tell it, "I need it in my big toe." You just drink the water, and it'll go to the big toe if that's where the need is. And spiritually, you know, you feel like you got these needs, but you don't know necessarily what that need is. But say, "Lord, I'm just thirsty.
That's right.
Come and fill my need," and God will do that. Amen. We want to go to the scriptures. If you don't mind, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. She'll have it there at the multimedia for you. It says, "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, for your presence that's already here today, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be a completely yielded habitation for your Spirit this morning. We love you. We thank you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I think one of the hardest things, and I've actually mentioned this to Brother Tony before, and I think he kind of agreed a little bit with me. I think one of the hardest things as far as a sermon is coming up with a title for it.
Right.
Because I've literally just gone back and forth and back and forth. And if I was going to name this, I'd title it The Habitation of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham spoke of a lovely building one time that he was traveling by, and he said, "You know, that's such a beautiful building," and it was like several stories high, and he was getting closer to it. Hello, Dylan. I've missed that boy this week. You ever had a week you see someone, you just miss them all week long? God bless you. Good to see you serving the Lord. Amen. But Brother Branham was traveling, and he seen this building, and it was like several stories high, and he looked at that, and he said, "My goodness, look at this beautiful building." But then he noticed as he got closer, it was empty. And the parking lot was vacant. And he looked at the man that was in the car. He says, "What's going on with this building? Why is it such a beautiful building?" He says, "Well, the foundation was wrong." He said, "They built everything right on this building. They got the windows right. They got the doors right. They got the floor. All these things right. But they built it on the wrong foundation. And that building is actually going to be condemned." Right. And they built it on soapstone, I believe is what he said it was. They built it on there. So a building, it's got to be built on the right thing. And education on this building that we are building on, education won't work. And religion won't work.
That's right.
It's going to, an experience of Jesus Christ, of the true revelation of Jesus Christ, is what it's got to be built on. And you know, we were passing by and we seen this house being built. And that's what they were doing right now. Is a lot of times they'll do several tests on the dirt to make sure that dirt is up to specs. And then they will structure this foundation. And a lot of people want to rush past that, but that's actually the most important part of building. Is that right, Brother Matthew? Brother Matthew does a lot of construction work, and he knows that that's true. Is the foundation is one of the most important things you could ever have. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, your experience in God, the foundation, it's got to be built on none other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where Jesus Christ, you know who he is as a person. And everything else must be built on that. And you say, "Brother Daniel, why do you say that?" Because if someone can talk you into serving God, the first storm that comes away, it's going to blow everything away, including your foundation. But whenever you're built, what anchors you to being a Christian is, I know who Jesus Christ is in his word. And when you do that, no matter how hard the winds blow, no matter what comes your way, you can stand your ground because you are standing on the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The greatest thing that can ever happen to a man is for God to reveal himself to him. And he will never be able to figure God out through education. We can learn the principles of God, of the world even. They can learn principles of a God. They got family talk radio that can give you certain principles of God, and they'll work because they're principles of God. For instance, you pray for healing. It don't matter if it's a man or a woman. You be prayed by healing because God honors faith. God will honor that healing. And God will heal their body. Is that right? Brother Ben talked about how the Beatles would come land at a certain place and people actually got out of wheelchairs. Think of that.
That's right.
People literally got out of wheelchairs that were sick. The Beatles come down. They literally stepped out of their wheelchairs and were healed. But it's not because the Beatles is anything magnificent. They're nothing. They need the Lord. They needed the Lord. I think they're all dead now. I don't know. I don't follow them. But you know what? They need the Lord. Healing don't come from them, but God honors faith. That's a principle of God. There are certain principles of God that you don't have to be in the message for to do that. But you know what? I say that because there's a certain level that I can talk to another sister and it would be holy still. I could reveal a certain portion of myself and it would still be holy. I could talk about my family. I could talk about different things. There's not a thing wrong with that. But there's another level that you can step up, and there's only one woman that's able to see that, and that's my wife. And here to tell you, on the church and in the world, there are principles of this life. There's principles of the scriptures that any of these churches can go on. They can talk about these things. Because it's holy, it's pure. God is just and able to see that and to reveal himself in that manner because that's a certain level. But there's another level above that God can't show the other churches. He only can show that to a select group of people, and that is what we call the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And one of the greatest things about God is we have learned, and Paul talked about this great mystery of God that I have, is the dispensation of God. It is he had the revelation that God, through the ages, would dispensate him. I can't say that word very well, but you know what I'm saying. He will dispense himself throughout the age a little bit at a time. Amen. And I know I'm not speaking anything new to this. I'd have to just rehearse a little bit. Down the seven church ages, God would dispense a little bit of himself at a time. And you had to take what he gave you and walk in that. And down the ages, if they took what God gave them, if they took it and they believed it and they walked in it. Listen to this. If you will take what God has given you, listen to it and believe in it and walk in it, God would seal them away. But if they turned it down, God would bring a temporary judgment. Now, we don't want to focus on them so much. We want to look on ourselves. I want to know that I am hearing, I'm believing, and I'm walking in what God gave me today because I want to know that I'm sealed.
Amen.
You know, the best way you can know, because people struggle, do I got the Holy Ghost? Do I not have the Holy Ghost? And the devil works so hard. He'll make a person think they got it when they don't. And then he'll work on the one that does and make you think that you see what I'm saying?
Right, yes. Right.
That's exactly how the devil will work. You want to know how you can know is where are you at in the Word? Where are you at on the inside of you? What is the diet inside you? Because a diet inside somebody will expose who they are.
That's right.
I can tell you, I've got the Holy Ghost all the days of my life. I'm here to tell you, if I've got filth all around me and I'm feeding on that filth nonstop, I'm here to tell you, I'm feeding something else. Because the hunger inside you will manifest and bear what's inside you. But if you've got something on the inside of you that says, I want truth. And then whenever you hear truth, come on, you can have the most worst day of your life. But you can hear a little bit of truth and it brings a fire inside you like butterflies in your stomach. That's God.
Amen.
Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm telling you it's a reality and you can have it.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest thing God can ever do is reveal himself to man. And to I love that in the scripture. It says, and this is life eternal, to know God.
Yeah.
So when we know him in a personal revelation. Amen. Got to get back to my handwriting. I can write. I started to use my tablet, and I really felt led to go this way with my pencil and paper. Sometimes Brother Barron talked about just pick up a pen and write. And that's exactly how I felt to do this way. It is not a simple choice when a man chooses a bride. The bride will be a respecter of his name. She will value his word. She would have a desire to be his helpmate for life, not like today, where they're married for 2 years or something. And when God sent Abraham to find sent Ishmael for the bride, he didn't try some different seed line. He went to the exact same seed as Abraham. He went to this because one of the most valuable things in this life is a man's seed.
Right.
His seed is the most valuable thing in this life, because that is what's going to reproduce and manifest who he is and manifest his name. I can't express how important it is and how of a important subject it is when choosing a bride. You know, because and a man looking at a woman, he's got to look for the character of the word. And a woman looking for a husband, looking for a character of the word. And if it's ever anything other than that, and if it's trying to present something from out there, if he's a son of God and he's got the Holy Ghost, he's going to be looking for the word. So you want to know how you can be the best opportune for that, of being your position of a mate, is you get as close to God as you possibly can.
Amen.
Because when you get as close to God as you possibly can, your helpmate will meet. Amen? Is that true?
Right.
God, in choosing a bride, is one of the most important things. And the most valuable thing is the man's seed. What makes a thoroughbred horse is you can look at his seed line and you know that he is pure. You can trace that thoroughbred back and you can find out exactly who his father is.
Right.
And seed lines can bear the same characteristics. A certain seed line will have a certain forehead. I'm talking about a man. They'll be identified by the characteristics. And you can look at a person and say, well, that's a Cole right there. Or that's a Black right there. Or that's a Roberts right there. And I say that, Cole, because one of the managers we used to have, talked to him here recently. He said, Daniel, one of the strangest things happened to me. He said, I was standing at Walmart looking at toothpaste, fixing to buy some toothpaste. He said, some woman I have never seen in my life walked up and said, you're a Cole, aren't you? And he said, yeah. Who are you? She said, I could just tell from your forehead that you're a Cole. She said, I didn't even have to talk to you. But just looking at your forehead, his characteristics manifested who he was through his seed.
Amen.
Amen. They're identified by their characteristics. Animal life is identified by characteristics. By knowing their characteristics, you know how to locate each animal. Brother Brenham talked about this. He spoke about how a heavy snow would take place and it would actually push the bull out to the bottom of that mountain. And Brother Brenham said this, Brother Matthew, this is for you. God will answer all your questions. He says, you want your trophy, brothers? That's where it'll be. He says, that snow will push that elk down, that bull elk. He said, you go right down at the foot of that. He said, you just wait on him and that trophy will come right there. So anytime I go hunting, I usually go there. But the Lord hasn't seen it fit to put it my way yet. And God's timing is perfect. But God, they're identified by their characteristics. The more we can understand the characteristics of an animal, the more we'll know how to be in their presence, and we'll also know how we'll offend their presence by knowing their characteristics. Sheep are identified by their characteristics. They can't defend themselves other than to depend solely upon their shepherd. And when they stop depending on God or their shepherd, that's when the sheep gets in trouble.
That's right.
Brother Brenham talked about how the sheep, he was watching the sheep through the binoculars and the sheep was going through the pasture. He was just grazing, eating the grass and all these things. And he felt so at peace. He was in harmony with God. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this sheep got nervous all of a sudden. He said this sheep started fretting and looking around, and the sheep didn't even know why he felt that way, but he felt nervous. He kept moving around, and Brother Brown said, I got to look at and thinking within myself, why is this sheep so nervous? Why is he acting that way? And then he had his binoculars, and he looked on over, and here come a predator coming right up behind that sheep. And he didn't see it, but something was inside the sheep that knew something was wrong. And I'm telling you what, he didn't try to defend himself. The shepherd was there and the shepherd defended him. But I say that to say this, we will go through this life and you will feel fear come up in your heart and nervousness come up on you and you don't know why, but you know something's wrong. Something's amiss. I don't understand why. I don't see it. But I know in my spirit, I know in myself, something's not right. And I'm here to tell you, we need to listen to that voice. If you ever feel that point and you feel something inside you and you're walking through a parking lot and you feel that come upon you, you say, boy, I don't know why I feel that way. There's a reason you feel that way. Amen. I'm not saying we should walk in fear all the time. I'm talking about you need to be cautious of those characteristics that take place. I'm going to give you just a brief testimony as far as catching those glimpses. Especially when I first started serving the Lord really, I began to really notice I was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive. I'm a nervous person, tend to be. And I remember I would be traveling and over instances, certain things would happen and I would notice, wait a minute, this happened before and I knew God did something. So me and my wife were traveling down the road and we felt that presence. It wasn't a nervousness, but something pricked my heart and I said, something's fixing to happen. And I was in a 99 country Jeep Cherokee and I told her, I said, God's fixing to do something. I don't know what. I pulled over beside the road and we took hands right then. And we started praying. We said, Lord, I ask you to help me, lead me. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I feel like you're fixing to do something. I won't be smart enough to be able to listen because I'm not real bright. I really need leadership. And as we began to pray, the Lord spoke to me just like I'm talking to you. It wasn't an audible voice, but something told me you're fixing to be confronted with another preacher, and he's fixing to have certain scriptures about you. And he's going to come, and he's going to tell you about these things. And I just told my wife, I said, I'm fixing to talk to a preacher. I said, I don't know who he is, but these are the scriptures he's going to tell me about. And we looked at one another, and I said, but let's just pray and say, God, help me have the right spirit. Help me be timid. Help me be prepared. And just we went on about our way. We left Shady Point, Oklahoma, going on down the street. And our house was up on the left. I'll go down there, pull into my grandma's driveway, and I start to step out, and here come a preacher. Come right down the hill, and I seen that. And I was actually expecting something to take place, and I see him come down the hill. And I thought to myself, something to leave. I was like, is that it, Lord? What am I leading to pay attention to? And this preacher come down and I'm not going to say his name, I wouldn't do that to him. This brother, he was very, very good at quoting scriptures. And Brother Bram talked about it. He said, you get with a good Baptist that knows how to quote scriptures, he'll tie you in knots if you ain't careful. How many knows he said that? And the Lord will give you guidance. Well, the Lord had already laid on my heart what was going to take place. And I said, Lord, I want to be sensitive to your leading. I want to walk in your spirit. I don't want to say anything amiss. This brother come up to me and he said, you're just the man I come to talk to. Walked over and said, man, well, God bless you, brother. And we sat down and God's my witness. He went down the exact same things the Lord told me he was going to tell me about 15 minutes prior. The Lord, I believe we can walk close enough to God that God can warn you before something takes place.
Right.
And I was absolutely at rest. I mean, I was literally at rest. I could literally just cross my foot, cross my knee and drink a cup of coffee if I wanted to. And I wasn't worried a bit. I don't say that trying to put myself up. I'm trying to say that because certain characteristics you'll find that take place. Hey, this happened before. I remember this happened. I'm going to learn this time. Lord, I ask you to help me in this need and pray about that situation. Right then. Don't put it off. Right then, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. For when God is dealing with your heart, you're so in tune with God, you know God's fixing to do something. Amen. I want to be available. Because you know, at a lot of times, you'll find out when God's fixing to do something, somebody will do something to make you mad. Somebody will do something to frustrate you. It's not that person, it's the devil. But they'll do that but whenever God begins to show you, you pray and say, God, help me keep my spirit right. Help me to be humble. Help me, don't try to put something up. But help me just be tuned with your spirit, Lord, where I can be used by you. Amen. I believe that we can be led by the Spirit. I believe that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Have you ever lusted in the flesh and been in the Spirit at the same time? It don't work. But hey, that's a good idea. Let's just walk in the Spirit. Let's just listen to the prophet. That's a great idea, ain't it? But you know what? That's exactly what it is. The more we can walk in God's Spirit, the more we can be led by God's Spirit, the more we'll find out those piddly things don't even matter anymore. We got to, because we'll be soaring up there. The eagle is up there so high, he don't even hear those filthy things. That's right. If you're struggling with little earthbound things, I'm here to tell you, this is how you do it. Soar higher. We need to be higher above all those things where we're not even listening to what Hollywood's offering. We're not even listening to what this stuff has.
Because we realize I'm so in tune with God that those things grieve the Holy Spirit. And I don't want that. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Light has a characteristic. And let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Who wants to have joy? This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. And that means it's a continual clean us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen. It's a moving light, walking in the Spirit. You know, there's certain principles of the message that people try to hold on to and put that as a blanket, and it don't work. And one of those things is talk about marriage and divorce. Where Brother Brenham's talking about, he said, you stay as you are in their situation. And people will try to take that over into the world, in the worldly churches, and try to take that same quote and say, well, the prophet said, I can stay as I am. I can keep going. You got to walk in the light. That's right. You have to walk in the light. And the scripture says he cleanseth you from all unrighteousness. He cleanseth you of your sin. But that means that I've got to walk. If I want the pardon of this message to do what it says it'll do, guess what I got to do? I got to walk in this message. That means I can't live out there and then expect the pardon of the message, is what I'm trying to say. If you want the benefits of a believer, guess what? We got to walk like a believer. Is that true? If we want the benefits of pardon, if we want the benefits of walking in the Spirit, we want the benefits of restored limbs, we want the benefits of third pull, you've got to walk in the message.
Right.
You know, if we want the benefits of saying, I want that same presence. Brother Brenham talked about how that Brother Eddie Biscoe was talking about how him and Brother Brenham are going down the road. He said, and all of a sudden, that presence came down into that car. He said, and all of a sudden, it felt like his neck and his hair was sticking out. And he looked at Brother Brown and said his beard was sticking out. And he was a witness of that presence. But you know what? That same presence is here.
That's right.
But that presence will not come if we're trying to hold on to the world and try to walk in this message at the same time. It won't. I'm telling you, it won't. We're coming to a crunch time right now. We're closer and closer to body change time. This is a time, friends, whenever we need to be more focused than ever on walking this message of true fellowship with God. And saying no to this world. I'm telling you what, you can't hold on to the world and walk this message at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. We've got to be able to soar higher. And as I was talking about, God wants to reveal himself, but God is not going to reveal himself to you if you keep trying to hold on to the world. He's not going to do it. He said, Brother Dan, you got scripture, you can do that. Look in the Garden of Eden. They were in sin. They had separated themselves before God. God put them out of the Garden of Eden and put a cherubim with a flaming sword right there at the east side of the Garden of Eden. Why did he do that? Because he was not going to allow them to have filth and try to come into his presence. Is that right? He's not going to allow them to have filth and to come into his presence. That means I can't hold on to this world. And the Lord keeps pulling me back to that. Cannot hold on to this world and expect God to bring me to maturity. I've got to let go. You've got to let go of the things in this world that's keeping you earthbound. Amen. I want to go to more things. I want more of God. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to see the brothers and sisters walking in the Spirit and having more of you.
And people say, people come to me a lot of times, they say, but then I want some advice. Okay, I'll give you the best I can. But then when you give them the advice, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. Hello?
Right.
They'll come to me and say, Brother Daniel, I need marriage advice. I need you to show me what to do. And like, okay, I will help you. And I talk about a woman I used to work with me. I see her every once in a while. She said, Brother Daniel, I need help. I need guidance for my marriage. I said, okay, I'll give you the best I can. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And I told her the truth. She said, well, I don't want to do all that. She said, I just want the peace that you have. I want this. I said, sister, you know, it's like going the route. This is the way you get it. They want the advice, but they don't really want the advice. They either want you to agree with them, or they want you to just give them the benefits without changing.
Right.
Amen. But God don't want that. God wants us to truly take the advice. Brother Daniel, I want to be used by God. I want to be led by the Spirit, Brother Daniel. How can we do it? I'm showing you right here. Let go of the world, and you start walking in with God. Amen. Being identified in God's characteristics. Many people once had a life, had the life, and were once in the life, but they stopped walking. And they become stagnant. And they did that in the days of Jesus on his earthly ministry. They did it with Brother Branham on his earthly ministry. And they're doing it today. People that once had a walk with God, they once had a testimony before God, and they allowed their life to get stagnant. And you know, the thing about stagnant is it brings a stench. It's smelly. One of the worst smells you can have is stagnant. You know, and we're to have a sweet aroma around us. But when you get into that and you allow yourself to get into a stagnant situation, you'll find out that you become stingy. I didn't say stingy. I said, well, probably stingy too. But stingy. You will have a smell about you, an odor about you where people can't be around you very much. Because anytime they're around you, all you are is negative or down or bringing everything. It's the atmosphere that you're creating around you. God does not want us to be that way. God has called us higher than that, brothers and sisters, where we can have a positive testimony, where we have an energy about us, where you can be around somebody and you leave and say, you know what, I feel better after I left that person. Amen. I want that, don't you?
Right.
I want these things to where I don't want to be stagnant. When you turn the light on, talk about characteristics of the light, when you turn the light on in a dirty room, all of a sudden you start seeing bugs coming out. You'll start thinking, because the light will chase away those things. And I like how Brother Miller, he brought out one time. He says, you know, you can have a bug in the drain. He said, what do you call it? Water bug. But you see that same bug in your house? What do you call that? Come on, folks. It's a roach. Hello? You can call it, you can pretty it up all you want to, but sin is sin. Amen? You can take a whiskey bottle, you can print it, you can put beautiful flowers on it, you can put all these things, anything you want, it's still whiskey. You can take cigarettes, you can pretty it up, you do all those things, it's still cigarettes. You can take Hollywood and pretty it up.
That's right.
Pretty it up, put flowers on it, put the emotion. Brother Tony, you hit it on the head when you spoke it. I'm telling you what, he hit it on the head, because what happens is during the emotions, you get so caught up in it, and all of a sudden you start allowing things slip that you would have never slipped before.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something I caught myself doing. I used to be, and any of you that knows me very long, you know this is true. When an evangelist would get up and preach, I would be the one jumping up and shouting so much. There wasn't nobody going to jump and shout more than I would. And you know what I caught myself doing? I went to a place over in Texas, and I won't say the name of the place because I don't want to expose the brother, but I was there, and I was he was preaching, I was jumping, I was shouting. There wasn't nobody standing and shouting more than I was. But all of a sudden, I found myself shouting. I said, amen, amen. And then I sat down. I was like, wait a minute. That ain't right. And I found myself, I caught myself. I was jumping up and shouting and praising God. And he was preaching false doctrine. But I was caught up in the emotion to where I was so caught up. All I was saying, amen, brother. And wasn't even using the right filter. I was using this instead of using this. The heart. And all of a sudden, I found out, wait a minute, that ain't right. And then I got to listening, and almost everything this brother was preaching was wrong, according to the message. And I say that, I believe in being spiritual. As I told you, I believe in being led by the Spirit. But I believe that we need to make sure that where we're jumping lines up with the Word.
That's right.
That's right. That's why a lot of times you see an evangelist who's like, get up and shout. Well, because I am listening to what he's saying.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. I don't care what other people think. Well, Brother Daniel ain't spiritual enough. He didn't stand where everybody else stood. He just sat there. Well, Brother Daniel was listening to what you were saying and then examining what you were saying with the Scriptures.
That's right.
That's right. So don't ever measure your balance, your walk in the Lord, as how much you stand and shout during the service, because that's not it. Where it is whenever the service is over and you go home and you're doing this walk, that's when the real test is. Anybody, I remember I was in school, and you're probably not going to believe this, but I was a little ornery. When I was in school, I was probably 16, 17 years old, and I was a little ornery. And I was sitting in ad class, and I was just being I was just being a goofball. And right after the service, it was the class, he said, all right, well, class is over, and Daniel Black, Jerry Smith, Nathan Police, stay there. And it was Mr. England. He was a big old guy. And like, oh boy, we're in for it. And he came to this, he waited till everyone left, closed the door. He walked over there and pulled his chair right in front of us, sat down right in front of us, and looked us right in the eye, looked me in the eye that I felt like. He said, I want you to remember something. Anybody can be a punk.
That's right.
He said, but it takes somebody to be somebody. And I'm telling you what, he was like preaching the gospel to me. He said, oh, that was the biggest thing I ever got. It's the best one I've ever had. I'm here to tell you, anybody,
that's right,
anybody can jump up and be spiritual. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. But it takes somebody to believe the word.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because when you believe the word, things change.
Yeah.
That's when you go to believe it. I remember I worked a CNC machine at a place called Hickory Springs here in Fort Smith. And the CNC machine, I had this computer. It was all right here. And then this long bar that come out. And there was a blade that would come down. And from this computer over here, I would put the program of what foam I was going to cut. It looked like a different shapes. Now, that was the control tower of the machine. Now, if I seen that blade over there and that saw, and I seen it cutting the wrong design, I could shape that machine where the blade's at all I want to. I could shout at it. I could speak in tongues to it. I could do anything I want. It's not going to change the effects of what's taking place.
That's right.
I can do anything I want. But what I could do is go back to the home tower. Because when you change the home tower, you start changing the results out here. Amen?
Right.
Because that's the home tower. We can jump and shout and speak in tongues and try to work this outside all we want to. But the home tower is the heart. When you change the heart, it changes everything else out there. Amen? Because this is the home tower. Because we've got to have God claim the heart. I'm not going to do that by speaking in tongues. I'm not doing that by shouting. I'm not doing that. That is by believing the word. Only believe. But anyway, that's not spiritual enough. I want to shout. I want to do these things. No. Simply believe. I remember listening to the tapes of Brother Branham. Brother Branham had a sister coming through the prayer line. And Brother Branham was prayed for several. And you can always tell when they healed. Because he'd say, God be with you. If they weren't necessarily healed at that moment. If you listen to it real close. And this woman come through there, and these people were being prayed for, didn't come through, and this woman kept speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And Brother Branham kept talking to her, trying to get her to calm down.
Right.
And she kept speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And Brother Branham kept saying, sister, and you could tell he was trying to talk with her, and she wouldn't ever stop and listen. And so finally he just prayed with her and said, God be with you. And she went on through. I hear to say that is because she had the perfect opportune time to receive her healing right then. It was right there. The angel of the Lord was present. But because she was trying to be spiritual,
right,
she was trying to work something, pull down some thunder, pull down right, some kind of emotions, pull down some hot oil,
yeah,
cause the screams, cause all these things. She wanted something tangible, something she could hold on to, something she could say, look at me, this is what's happening. But God does it in the secret a lot of times. And she missed her healing. I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with screaming. Praise God. But make sure when you scream, you're doing it in the right direction. Amen? I'm not saying anything wrong with shouting, but make sure when you're doing it, it's according to the word on the inside of you.
Otherwise, it's in vain. Amen. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of people who say, Brother Danny, you're throwing a wet blanket over this church. Well, I'm telling you what, if you listen to what I'm telling you, it's the truth.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Because it's like playing a piano. I can't play one, but I'm going to try to. But you know what? I know this enough about it. If I wanted to be the fastest piano player, I'm not going to jump up here and just... I'm not going to do that. I've got enough sense to know accuracy. I want to do accurate. I may be saying, Mary had a little lamb. I may be slow, but I'm accurate. But you know what? The more I stay in the presence, the more I focus on being accurate, speed comes automatically. But you've got to be accurate. And I'm here to tell you, this walk with God, this walk with this message, we need to focus more on being accurate.
That's right.
We want to be deep. But rather than trying to focus on being deep, we need to focus on being accurate. Where I am in tune with God. If he tings that, he makes that ding, and he hits me, it needs to sound the same thing. Because I'm in tune with God. Because I'm here to tell you, I would rather be way down here than way up there and be in tune with God. Because there's a lot of people that can tell you deep stuff. I'm telling you, so deep. But you ding their life, it's the worst sound you ever heard. But you know what? Which is when I want to be accurate, where I've got the real thing, the real life, the real presence of God. I've got the real fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you what, that's what makes me want a believer. Can you say amen? It's the fellowship with God. Where you can truly fellowship with God. Where God speaks to your heart. And if you don't have that, I'm here to tell you, you can have it. It is freely available this morning.
Yeah.
Where you can say, Lord, I want that. I look at some of these brothers, they can preach that deep stuff. I'd love to do that, but that's not my calling. It's my calling to do this. I'm the guy with the dust mop. I'm the one that sweeps the floors. And it's me again. I'm going to clean your closets, guys. Here he comes again. Amen? Just say, Brother Daniel, come on in, brother. Not me, you know, the Lord.
Right.
Because we all got a calling. And I'm here to tell you, this is my calling. I can tell you, it was shown you. I can clean the floor pretty than you've ever seen. I remember I worked at William Chevrolet. I was an oil change technician there. Sold tires, and I cleaned the floors. And I would clean that floor so clean. Sisters would come in, or sisters, it'd be women, come through there, and I'd get their vehicle floor, and she would look at that, and she said, oh my goodness, did you clean these floors? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, would you like to come to the house and clean mine?
No, ma'am, I wouldn't.
You know what? The reason I did that is because I valued that. That is my job.
Right.
My job, at that point, was to clean floors. I wasn't going to try to be the president. I wasn't going to try to be this. My job was to clean floors. And I purposed in myself, I am going to do this job in such a way that God can sign his signature on my job and say, I approve of this transaction you have done on this floor.
That's right.
And you conduct your business just like that, and you'll find out that God will bless your life. Amen. When I would do an oil change, it was not a desirous job. How many likes to get under a vehicle and get grease all over you, grease all over your face and everything else? But you know what? That was my job. And what I would do, in part, God put had me do a signature on doing this job. After you greased, my personal signature was, I would take a rag, and no matter what the vehicle, whether it was old, whether it was new, I did it all the same. My signature was, every single one, I would take my rag, and underneath it, I'd go to the grease circuit, I would wipe those off, and it would look brand new. And I did it every single time. Well, there come a time, one time, a man come through there, and he said, I brought my vehicle here, and earlier today, he said, and my ball joint went out because he did the service. And I said, sir, I didn't do your truck. I didn't work on your truck. He said, yes, sir, you did. You did it. And my manager walked up and said, who'd you say did that? He said, this guy right here. And he knew I didn't do it. He said, I want to show you something. He said, we're going to bring your truck in, and raise his truck up. And then raise the truck that I had just did right beside it. He said, I want you to, this is what the manager said. He said, I want you to see something. He said, every vehicle this man does, he cleans those grease arts absolutely perfect. We looked under the one I had just done, absolutely perfect. Every single one of them.
Went to the one he did. Every one of them were dirty and clogged up and stuff all over it. And the guy's face, you can tell immediately, he knew he was lying. He was busted. I said that because the people around me can vouch for me. This man does it every time. This man does the job right.
Man.
That's the testimony we got to have, friends.
That's right.
To where if they say, if it's a computer deal at Samsung or whatever it may be, they can say, I know Tim Lane, and this is the way he does work. Amen. If it's a plumbing job, they can look through there, and they can say, I know the way this man works. This is not his signature. This is his signature. And I know personally, because he's done some plumbing for me. He does pretty good work. I had a job at the house, and I tried. And I failed miserably. This brother made me look like I don't want to say him, but you know, someone smaller than that. He came there, and in a matter of about 6 minutes, he had the job done, bolted, and pulling the gloves off, and done. I was like, well, brother, that you sure made that look easy. I kind of wish you had struggled a little bit. just a little bit, you know. Because it's a signature. His signature on doing the job is he did it right. And friend, that's what we want. We want the signature of the Holy Ghost where God is putting the signature on what we're doing. So I say that to you young brothers. You got jobs. And we all desire to be hired. Is that right? It's higher pay anyway. But here to tell you, this is where it is. You do the job you got and do it absolutely best, absolutely accurate, 100%. And you do that, God will bless you and he'll give you more. And I say that spiritually, we all want to go deeper in the Word. He wants to go deeper, absolutely. You know how we're going to do that? Start walking accurate in what we have right now. The more this church can be accurate, the more God will bless it. The more we can be accurate one another, that's when someone comes in here with a sickness, nobody will leave here. Not well. That's right. Because accuracy. Checking your spirits in the service or before the service. Accuracy. You know the best way to test yourself is pressure. When you're going through a hard time, anybody can be jolly and praise God when you won the football game. When you scored the touchdown. You can bring the reporters to you like, yeah, I scored a touchdown. How'd you do it? Oh, I don't know. But what about when you lost the game? It was right in your hands, and you missed it. Then the reporter to the guy, you think he's going to say, I wouldn't even want to be on the reporter. I don't want to talk to anybody. It's easy to praise God and worship when you're on the mountaintop, but it's when you're in the valley. Amen. And I know that's a subject nobody likes to talk about. But it's when you're in the valley, when you're in the pressure, that's when the real character comes out. When they ripped Jesus' beard out. It wasn't when everyone patted him on the back. It was when they ripped his beard out. If I was to rip your beard out, right, how could you react? Right. Brother Tony's been preaching this. You got to do it just like Jesus would. But we don't necessarily have the bracelet. We got something on the inside of you. When they rip your beard out, what's your result then? Whenever they've done you wrong, and you know they did you wrong, and they know you did you wrong,
yeah,
how do you handle it? Oh, don't that make you want to shout? When they cut your wages, and you know they cut your wages, they know they cut their wages, what would you do then? Amen. Sometimes people struggle just enough whenever they short your change at Walmart. Oh my goodness, I was with a sister one time, and I won't say her name. I remember we're there, and I thought, boy, this is really awesome. Being with believers, get to spend the day together, and we got there, and she actually shouldered her change by like 10 cents. It wasn't that much. I mean, I gave her the 10 cents. Boy, you talk about a bandsaw come out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. That poor woman behind the cashier register, she is like, it was an honest mistake. But she shortchanged her, and boy, my goodness. And imagine all the people that looked at that. And thought, I can imagine they've seen her coming through that. Wow, that's something real. Look at that. Look at what she's doing in her hair. Look at those things. And then they see her go through the register and get shortchanged and see her just cut that poor little girl all to pieces. It runs the testimony.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you, these little things I'm talking to you about, this is showing God's glory. This is where we're showing what God has done in your life. And because it's a signature for God, whenever we display how we handle those situations. If you've done that, say, God, forgive me and move forward. Amen.
but it's the way we handle the situations. It's whenever families are under attack in this hour, that's whenever the real test, the real character is going to come out. Brother Branham's meetings, if you listen to the tapes, they said that there would be people from the hotel that would talk to Brother Branham. They said, Brother Branham, he said, you are Brother Branham. They said, we've got your believers that are coming to our place here. He said, that's the sweetest people we've ever talked to. Such a sweet presence. That was what it was then. Where are we at today?
That's right.
That's right. I don't say this to bash people, but I told you to bring a reality of it. I went to the Louisiana camp, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be so awesome, such good fellowship. You know, I talked to a lot of people that were bitter more than I felt like I had touched a cactus.
Right.
That's the truth.
Right.
I come expecting this hard. I mean, I worked a lot of overtime to be able to come here. And I go to fellowship, I talk to them, and it was like talking to a bunch of cactus. And I don't know about you, but I don't like cactus. It hurts. But that should have been a... And I don't say this to bash Louisiana. I don't say that at all. God knows it's the truth. But that should have been a time right then where I should have felt that strong love, strong presence. That's right. And I'm telling you what, when this assembly goes to a restaurant, we go somewhere, when we leave, those people should be able to testify that's the sweetest people I've ever been with. If they don't, we're getting it wrong.
That's right.
That's right. When we go to Cabela's, we go somewhere, they should be able to look at us and say, that's the sweetest person I've ever been to. Not because I'm just a little sweetheart, but there's a presence around me. And I don't want to offend it. That's what I said. The more you learn the characteristic of an animal, you'll know how to not offend it. And the more we know God, we know more how not to offend. We'll talk about couples just for a short period. Husbands and wives, the more you're together, the more you know how not to offend. And the more you know how to do it if you really want to. There's that button that you can push. And I know if I touch this button, it's going to make her mad. Or it's going to make him mad. And that button can be right there. And not only do you push it, you go. Say amen, somebody. You know that that button is right there. She said something and just made you uncomfortable, and I could say, Lord Jesus, help her. Or I could say, push the button. Amen. Children, your parents, you know, remember the characteristics I was telling you about? I felt this certain characteristic, and I was like, wait a minute, God's fixing to do something, so I'm going to pray. So I pulled over beside the road. Remember that part of the conversation? Children can see certain circumstances, certain characteristics start to take place. And through experience, I've learned this is not going to be good if I keep doing this.
That's right.
But because you're learning, you can say, wait a minute, I'm starting to see that characteristic again. And I'm going to change. I'm not going to let this happen. And you can say, Lord, help me to do better. Help me to not make that same mistake again. And you know what that's called? Becoming more mature. It's because you're growing. And that's in the kids, the teenagers. That's the husband and the wife. And that's it, us with walking with God. Well, we can learn to be mature. A lot of us, I'd say mature, I do too. Mature is perfect, but that's part of it. You know what? You take an apple, it's not whole anymore. Right? And only way that apple can be made whole is I got to take that apple, put it back on it, and then he's whole. I want to be made whole. My experience, I want to be made whole. Because this old world has a way of biting at this apple to where I'm not whole anymore. I've got chunks missing. I've got things missing. But there's a restoring God this morning that can say, Lord, help me to be the husband where I can be whole. Help me to be the father I can be whole, where I don't provoke my children to anger. I remember Brother Miguel, and I'm going to say this because I can say this one because he said it before too, and he's a good friend. He said, Brother Daniel, you ever notice how you can quote scripture and it comes back at you when you do it the wrong way? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I remember one time as a young teenager, he said, my mother and I were going to church. He said, and my wife was correcting us, and rightly so.
He said, and I quoted scripture, he said, you shouldn't provoke your children to anger. Well, he knew he was wrong when he said it. Well, they went on to service. Brother Forrest Farmer got up, and Brother Forrest Farmer was preaching. And you know how Brother Forrest Farmer, he tells stories, and he don't finish them. And he'll say, we'll get back to that in just a second. He'll start telling another story. I love his story. Brother Tim Miller and I told him, Brother Tim Miller and I were sitting in one time. He said, Brother Farmer, I want one service that you can do, and you take every story that you started, and you finish them. Only one service. But Brother Forrest Farmer, he was speaking this service, telling his stories. He said, he was like walking through. He said, he literally turned to me, Brother Daniel, stuck his finger at me and said, and started talking about provoking your children to anger. And he put it in the right perspective. He said, and that's the way the scripture goes, brother. And turning around, Brother Miguel's like, The Lord will call you out sometimes. I thank God for it.
That's right.
Amen. I don't want to be a father that provokes my children to anger. I want to be a father that can cause you to want to be a good son. To be a good daughter. Say amen, brothers.
Amen.
I want to be a son that makes my dad's job easy. I want to be a son or a daughter that makes my parents' job easy. As easy as possible. And that goes by, although Tony's been ministering to us, turn back to leadership. Following that leadership. Amen. Don't stand. Now, I've got like 8 more pages that I hadn't even got to on this, but I truly believe that you guys are the time clock. But what I want you to focus on this morning is walking and acknowledging the characteristics God's put in your life. And look at my character. Look at yourself and say, Lord, what character am I doing? If I am a repeat offender of pushing that button, whether I'm a father, whether I'm a son, whether I'm who I am, help me not do that no more. Help me and say, Lord, I want to make your walk pleasant with me. Amen? I want the church to be pleasant with me. I want it to be a good experience. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads. The musicians come if you'd like to. Father, we come to you this morning, and we want to thank you for your grace that you've put in our life today. And Lord God, I know I've spoken some things today that may seem tender in some places, and some people could get plumb upset with you for saying those things, but we have such a good congregation here, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would help us all to acknowledge the characteristics that we're putting forth, Lord. Lord God, and touch these. Lord, if there be any among us here today, Lord, to say, Brother Daniel, you've really spoke to my heart on this part, and I know I need help on it. With every head bowed, I just ask you that they just lift their hand up, Lord, and you know the need behind those hands. I ask you to touch each one right now, Lord, in your own way. Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, to be submissive to your spirit, Lord. Help us to acknowledge your spirit, Lord. And whenever you're ready to do something in our life, Lord, help us to be ready, Lord God. And not holding on to the world, Lord, but from the control tower of our heart, Lord, I ask you, Father, that you will cleanse us, Lord. I ask you that you'll go to the closets, Lord God, that you'll look at the anger that may be an anger problem that might be there, Lord. Or Lord, it may be a lust problem that might be there, Lord. Or Lord God, a spirit that wants to listen to the wrong kind of music. Lord God, if those things are in our closets, Lord, this morning, I ask you that you'll cleanse it, Lord. I ask you that you'll search each heart right now, Lord. Go through the hearts, Lord. Lord, open every door. And Lord God, just make yourself welcome in us. Lord, receive our worship at the end of this service now, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our musicians when they're ready, if they could play something soft for us. Thank you.
very, very good stuff. You could just stay on it all day long. And I was just marveling at my conversation that Mary and I had this morning, how that we come to service and just one mind and one accord. This is all there is to it, you know. But I like what the Lord has, where He has us, you know, what He's doing. And you know, we don't want to just be Christians by head knowledge. That's not going to work.
Right.
You know, God has sent us a message to prepare us to live in that land. You know, because there's only certain character that's going to live there. The Bible is very clear about what will not enter there. And God has dropped down into time with a message to prepare us so that we can leave here someday and go there. And remember, like Brother Ram said, death does not change you. It just changes your dwelling place, but it doesn't change your character. Mm-hmm. So your character to live there, you've got to gain that character now.
That's right.
Before body change. Because if you've got something in you that offends that kingdom, you're not going to go there come rapture morning.
That's right.
So that message is here to get out of us the things that don't belong there, to get out of us all the things that can't go there. And I'm going to tell you, there's no life that's going to live there that needs the feet on the Word. So God has to perfect His work in us to get us weaned from this world so that we have the character that we should have come rapture time. And that's what the Word of God is doing. That's what these things that God is giving us and teaching. And so, you know, it's not, we don't want to be just head knowledge Christians.
Right.
We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ, because the head knowledge, it is a person. But you want Him to come down and to actually live in you so that it becomes your nature. And you live by what's in you, not just because of head knowledge. Because you can walk this life and say, well, Brother Graham said this, and he said that, and you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable until the life of Jesus Christ comes in. And then when the life of Jesus Christ comes in, He knows when something's wrong. He warns you when something's wrong. He prepares you for what's coming, right? Right? Because the Scripture said He's the Spirit of truth, and the Word is truth, and He will show you things to come. He prepares you. He gets you ready. He leads you. He guides you. He's everything you need. That's why God sent Him here, that you would receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that power to live and to walk. And since we are at the end time, that power to prepare us for a body change. But it can't be just head knowledge. It's got to be something that actually comes down inside us and lives inside us and prepares us. And so that's what the Word is here to do, is to change us and make us the kind of people we want to be. And as I said the other day, the world catches the inspiration of things, and they've got, what would Jesus do? And as I say, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. How would He, if He was in your situation, how would He handle what you're going through? And whatever that answer is, that's the way we should be. But you can't do it by head knowledge. You can't do it by yourself. You can only do it by a surrendered life. And say, Lord, I'm done. I can't do anything. I just have to let You come live in me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had a situation this week I had to deal with, and you know, an arrogant spirit is not of God, right? You can have all kinds of adversity and everything like that. Like Brother Damon said, you get into a vice, you get into a situation where things are tough. And you'll find out real quick of some of the things that are down inside you. You know how you get the dross and all the impurities to come up out of gold, right? By the fire and by the beating it. That's those trials there to make you realize, hey, I didn't know that was in me.
That's right.
Lord, get that out of me, mm-hmm. right? And so, but that's right. And that's what Jesus was. Jesus, when they were plucking His beard out and He was walking up Calvary, He still was manifesting the Word for the hour. You couldn't make Him not manifest the vindicated Word of the hour by pulling His beard out and by whipping Him with a whip. You couldn't make Him not be Christ. You couldn't make Him not be the Word for the hour. And the bride is in this day, the same thing, to be the manifested Word. And these trials and things we go through is to show us and so that we can get our lives totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then when we reach that point, you'll find out now you're looking at a being who's manifesting the Word, and you can't make her be something different than the Word.
That's right.
Amen. And so, Brother Daniel touched on so many good things this morning, but I just was thinking there, can God sign off on the work you just did? If I go to work tomorrow, and I'm on vacation this week, but for instance, but if I was to go to work tomorrow, how would Jesus go to my place of employment, and how would he deal with the circumstances I would be dealing with, right? And if I went in there and I lived something and I dealt with a situation a certain way, could God look upon that and say, I can sign off on that? Or would he have to stop back and say, you know what, that was not me? And that's our target.
Yes.
That is our target, to do everything we can to let Jesus Christ live through us, and we surrender ourselves to him in every fashion, in every way. And I can tell you that when that's happening, we're not going to be feeding on the world.
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost don't need those things.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. Amen. You know, the scripture said this, but a man's gift will make room for him. Right? Brother Daniel's, his gift to be able to change the oil and sell the tire, do the tire, and to clean off those fittings, that was his gift. And it made room for him. Right? Amen. So if we just let that gift of God, which the bride of Christ, her gift is to manifest Jesus Christ, the last voice for the final age, that'll make room for it. Amen. So we thank Brother Daniel this morning. We want to be sensitive to the Lord. I've been thinking about that a lot myself. And, you know, he said that. It reminded me the other night when Anna and Jordan got ready to leave to go visit his parents. Anna called on the phone and she said, I'm nervous. This trip, I'm nervous for some reason. She asked us to pray. That's what she should have done.
Yeah.
Right? When you feel nervous, you say, I don't know, this, you know, the Christ in me, the Word in me, maybe I'm not fully mature, but the portion that I know to be Jesus Christ in me has become unsettled about this situation. What do I do? Go to your leadership. Go to prayer.
Yes.
Go to your leadership. See? And until that which is in you becomes peaceful,
yes,
and comfortable. And if you can't do what you're planning on doing, if you can't do that with peace in your heart, you back off and go to your leadership.
Amen.
Because I can guarantee you, if you're going to do it right, that Holy Spirit down inside you will be pleased.
That's right.
Amen. So this has been good this morning. We'll worship the Lord just for a moment, and then we'll let you be gone. Sing this song.